turn to Psalm 24. Now, this psalm is extremely, I'm not preaching this psalm today. I'm just going to get to the end of it. It's an extremely prophetic end time psalm. It's about the return of the King of Glory. We wrote a whole constitution. At the end of this psalm, he says something very important, and I believe this is very prophetic to this generation. And this is what I want to talk about today, verse 7. He says, who is this King of Glory? Lift up your heads, O you gates. It says, so lift up your heads, O you gates, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. And he says it again in verse 9. Lift up your heads, O you gates, even lift them up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. So he's actually saying here, to lift up. You are the gate that's being lifted up. You are the everlasting door. You're actually a gate that heaven flows through. You know, you hear say, open the gates of heaven. You are the gates. You are the doors. In these end times, he's actually extending an invitation to lift up your heads. Oh, you gates, lift up. And he's not talking about lifted out of depression. He's talking about lifted up into the right hand of God. And the King of Glory will come in. There's a generation that will usher the King of Glory in. Amen. We're the generation to usher the King of Glory in. And so these gates are a very important part of the equation, because your gates will both receive and out of your gates will flow. We've been into the receiving mode for a very long time. The Lord's taught us how to receive from the finished realm, which is amazing, because you have to believe you receive and then you shall have. But what we're working on now, which I believe is one of the final operations of this whole plumb line operation that we're building, is the gates that pertain to the kingdom of heaven in you flowing in the earth. The gates where the kingdom flows through you. The Bible has much to say about the kingdom flowing through you. Out of your innermost being, where the gates are, shall flow what? Rivers of living water. Your gates shall be open. It's very important you understand and see the scriptures pertaining to your gates. The Bible says in Isaiah, your gates shall be open continuously, day and night. You need a continuous open gate. You have a continuous open door the Lord provides for you, but you need to be in a continuous open gate of the Lord for the kingdom to flow through. Now, the kingdom can flow in many different ways. It can flow through the gift realm that God gives you, an operation that each and every one of us have been given grace for. The kingdom will flow out. What we're wanting is the anointing without measure, or rivers without limitations, glory without limitation. The gift realm will never give you that. I can't get into the Capernaum inheritance versus the anointing without measure, the one in measure. But what we want to talk about is how to open the gates to let flow what already's inside of you. You have a lot inside you. The Bible talks to you, the kingdom of heaven is within. There's a whole kingdom up inside you. Oh, look at that. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. The Father himself said, I will walk in them. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Holy Spirit will abide with you and in you. So all of this is in you. And however deep you go in the Lord depends on how deep your waters. If you're shallow, then shallow water will come out. If you're deep, then deep waters will come out. Deep waters do not come out of shallow people. Deep waters come out of people who dwell in the deep, who go overhead, that get in there, amen? The more you get in there, the more comes out. But what I want to talk about more, you can bring me a little volume, but the everything else is good. Sorry, we're getting the new mic fixed. So what we want to do is talk about how this kingdom flows out of you. what blocks it, how to fix those things, how to fix the hindrances. Now, one of the things about the anointing without measure, with all these scriptures, the water just doesn't flow automatically. The water has everything to do, or the kingdom, however you want to see it, has everything to do with where you are, the condition of your heart, what's coming out of your mouth. Your mouth is the number one catalyst for the kingdom to flow. Your mouth is the number one catalyst to shut the kingdom down. Your mouth determines what comes out of your gates. What comes out of your mouth will eventually come out of your gates. Amen? So I want to talk about, first of all, what blocks the gates, and then how to fix these hindrances. Because if they're there, they're going to shut you down. You ever met someone who's shut down? You'll never see the kingdom flow through somebody who's shut down. So that means we need to be wide open. Say wide open. So number one thing, I believe one of the absolute number ones is what I call trespass. A trespass is different. It's in the same vein as unforgiveness, offense, and everything. And those will hinder your gates. A trespass will just shut your gates down completely. A trespass is different than like unforgiveness, ought, or offense, because a trespass will come with trauma, betrayal, and there'll be a spirit assigned with that trespass, and that spirit will lock you into the pain. That's why something happens to them 20 years later, they can still be talking about it 20 years later. They can still hate or have all these emotions 20 years later, because a spirit, it's designed by the kingdom of darkness to lock that offense in, or to lock that betrayal in. And it takes more than to say, I forgive them. It takes an unlocking of those gates. Sozo can unlock those gates. Dwelling in the right hand of God can unlock those gates. I had a major trespass when this church, maybe 2006, it split. Didn't split down the middle. It split in two, and then it split five times over. I mean, it was awful. And for a whole year, I just checked out. And then God started getting me back in. And this is actually when he introduced the right hand of God to us. Way back then, he started introducing it and started waking me back up. See, you go to sleep when things happen to you. You check out. You go to sleep. And it started waking me up. And then suddenly I had to deal with this trespass, because the pain was intensely deep. And I didn't know how to deal with it, things like that in that time. And the Lord gave me a whole series on dealing with trespasses. And the gist of it, just for the sake of time today, is representing those people before the throne of grace, blessing them before the throne of grace. And I literally spent over 30 days, probably 15, 20 minutes a day, blessing all these people that back then, which I thought destroyed everything, but really it was all the will of God in the first place, because what we were building had nothing to do with where God wanted us to go. So God just did us a favor, amen? So a lot of times what happens to you, it's a favor. You just don't know it yet. But it still hurts because of where you are and the way you process things. Now those things can be dealt with very easily because we dwell in a higher place. Trespass. Unrepented sin, shut your gate down. But even if you repent of sin, a lot of people will repent, but they don't receive the forgiveness. So if you don't receive the forgiveness, you've asked God forgiveness, but you're still dwelling in guilt. They're still dwelling in guilt or shame or condemnation. If you have all those operations, what that is a result of is you haven't received the forgiveness that's already been appropriated to you. So it's one thing to repent of something. It's another thing to receive. You've got to receive the forgiveness and let him cleanse you so you don't carry it. Amen. And then that'll open your gate back up. Listen, the enemy will war against your gates. You remember being born again, the day you're born again, and everything's awesome. The kingdom of God's flowing through. Because you have nothing up in your gates. God, you're just brand new. That's when the kingdom flows the most. You know what I mean? You have to go maturing in the Lord for things to get shut down. You got to walk with God for a little while. But the enemy will fight your gates. So you have to understand how to keep them open. Because if you don't keep your gates open, if we don't get these gates fully open, we're not going to ever see what it is we're believing God for. You can possess it all within, but it's got to get out. Amen? And so we're working on the gates. Grief. I know someone one time, they lost someone very dear to them, and they just didn't want to get out of the house. They just wouldn't move. I talked to this person. I said, you can't stay like that. They said, there's a natural time for grief, but you can't stay there. Because if you stay there, that's going to overtake your heart, and you're going to close up. And that's going to create even more problems. Grief can shut your heart down. There is a natural time of grief, and God will give grace for that kind of thing. But then you have to come out. If you don't come out when you're supposed to, there's a whole lot of darkness that'll come come move in with that grief, if you know what I mean. Heaviness and darkness and depression, open the depression. That's another one, depression. These are just some of the things. Deferred hope, big one. That's one I have to fight sometime because these things take a little longer than I thought they should, praise God. A lot longer than I thought they should. Praise God. Deferred hope. Things are not happening on your timetable. You let that deferred hope get on you too much, it'll shut you down. Amen? How about this one? Lack of vision. If you don't have any vision, you don't even have anything to flow out of your gate. Water is moved by vision and words. What you see, what you say. The way you're going to see, if you want to see more, stop trying to look for the lightning and thunders and start developing the eye of faith where revelation will flood the eye of your heart. Pray this prayer every single day. Lord, let the spirit of wisdom and revelation rest upon me. Flood the eye of my heart with light. Let the spirit of glory rest upon me because God moves through vision. What you see, what you say, those two are powerhouses. Those two encompass faith. Those two move waters. They move the kingdom. If you don't have a direction for your faith, there's nothing for anything to flow out of. You have to have a direction. Be not vague, thoughtless, or foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You got to see what it is you're believing for. Every one of you should have a faith project. You just should. You can't just be general all your life. Well, he just blessed me when he gets ready. He's already ready. In reality, he already has. What he wants to do is you to move with that, with him. If you stay with the Lord, he moves a lot. Even when you're not moving in the natural, you can move a lot in the realm of the spirit. You journey with him. Because before he wants to move here, he wants to journey with you a little bit. And he's got to bring you on a journey, but you're moving with him. It's never stale if you're connected with him. It only gets stale when you're not connected. Amen. Hallelujah. Cares of this life. Oh, that's a big one. Got to watch that. Those things coming in, they divert your attention away from the kingdom, away from the Lord. They divert your attention and the world gets your attention. Our cares just convolute the soul. The convolution of the cares of this life will flood your heart and it'll plug you up. Amen? You are meant to be a wellspring. I know you're looking like, well, how is any water going to flow? I have every one of these. Well, let me just give you one more. Hard-heartedness. Seared conscience. That shuts your heart down. This shuts you down. Your mistakes. Some people wear. You've made great mistakes in life. Listen, there's probably nobody's made as many. Well, there probably are, but I've made a ton. More than I should have. And listen, you have to be able to overcome that or you're going to wear the guilt of it. And if you wear the guilt of it, you'll never get anywhere. You have to be able to overcome this. So now that I told you what hinders or blocks or shuts or plugs you up. Now I want to tell you how to deal with it, because last thing I want you to do is go run home and start trying to fix everything. I need to fix this, I need to fix that, fix this. Listen, fixing things in the natural, in the kingdom of God, is a worthless operation. You must learn to fix things by way of the wisdom of God. When God identifies something in your life, that doesn't mean you go try to run and fix it in yourself, because it's only going to lead to more frustration. Because you're not designed to fix things yourself. The rather approach, the better approach is to exchange those things. Even if it's a continual issue in your life, you can exchange it daily. I've had continuous issues that I couldn't overcome readily, but I needed to be able to stand in freedom to do what God needed me to do. So what I did is I went and exchanged those things for his righteousness. I exchanged them for his standing, because freely he has given, freely you receive. And if you'll learn to do that by faith, while you still have those issues and they show up again, you can still stand in the perfection of God and operate. Because once you exchange, your slate is cleared. That's why we do this. That's why we go up. That's one of the main things. It's one of the most beautiful things about the mountain that God's ever given, is exchanging into the standing of his righteousness. Is leaving your standing and embracing his. Joshua, the high priest, not the one with Moses, the one with Zerubbabel, He was brought into the heavenly courts. In Zechariah 2, and they said, he said, take away the filthy garments. He was a high priest, and he had filthy garments. He says, take away the filthy garments. And they exchanged. The prodigal came in. God didn't say, oh, now you can't come into my house. No, God came running to him. You got to get the understanding of how grace works. Grace runs to those who return to God. All it takes is to return to him. And God runs with the best robe. So you have to see the robe, the new shoes, the signet ring, a clean white turban. You got to see that God's desire to reclothe you, and do this by faith and not by works. Because it's so powerful when you do it by faith. Because literally you can make intense mistakes. But and people can't grasp this, because if your faith gets really good, by the end of the day, you're standing in glory. Well, something should have wiped you out for 2 weeks, maybe a month. Now you're standing in the glory of God and you have no recollection, or you know, but you're not wearing it. How many know what I'm talking about? When you make a mistake, you can't wear the guilt of it. There is no condemnation in Christ. The only condemnation is what works in you that has not been appropriated yet in the kingdom. So when you appropriate, there's no condemning sentence. If you haven't learned to appropriate, you wear your mistakes. You wear your mistakes. It's going to bury something inside of you that's going to shut your water down. It's going to shut your heart down. It's going to shut down the flow that God's endeavoring to open. Amen. So the way you fix these things is don't go looking for all your issues. Walk with God. He'll show them to you. Your own life will show them to you. Your mistakes will be prevalent. Ask your wife. She'll tell you. Hallelujah. I was talking to Chuck, baby. I wasn't. Your mistakes will be evident. Your shortcomings will be evident. Wake up. Everybody has them. I know you're the only one that thinks that I have this issue, but everybody has stuff. Stuff can be exchanged. The Lord's not intimidated by your stuff, and he's forever your high priest. He's forever merciful. He forever sets before you an open door. He'll never deny you. The only thing that's going to deny you is your own faith getting there, or your own approach to him. Allowing your own heart to overwhelm you. That's the only thing he'll deny you. He won't. I, God called me. He called me with a lot of stuff, so I had to learn how to exchange. I would have never be standing here doing what we do, administrating things that God's called us to administrate. But because we've learned to exchange, All the time we were walking with infirmities, he was not only forgiving, but exchanging. And we were standing in glory, and it calls us to go from glory to glory instead of get buried in a trespass. Amen? So those are some of the things about how to get it. Now, this next part I want to talk about is what you need to be doing. This is probably the most, besides exchange, exchange is just getting you right, getting you ready. Amen? You need to learn to speak to your gates. Look at your neighbor and say, speak to your gates. Understand you are the gate. An end time, you're the temple of the living God. Ezekiel, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, Ezekiel 47, it said the waters issued out of the sanctuary. That's you. Say, that's me. Understand you're a gate of the kingdom. See that you're a gate and get equipped with the scriptures that pertain to your gates being wide open. Amen. Say, swing wide, you heavenly gates. Swing wide, you everlasting doors. Let me ask you, would you rather be a still pond in Texas or a flowing river in Colorado? Well, you can be a flowing river in Texas too. Frio River. Would you rather be the Frio where the cold water flows or a stagnant pond? So we must become free-flowing rivers. To do that, we need a broad array of imagery, revelation, scriptures, and understanding of what he's already spoken about our gates, and we come in agreement with what he's already said. Amen? All faith really does is comes into full agreement with what God's already said. And what happens, it's kind of like a frequency. Each time you agree, your frequency gets tuned more and more to the perfect frequency of what's already been done. And once you get alignment, it starts happening to you. Because you're aligning your belief system with what God has said. Amen? Like, swing wide, you heavenly gates. Lift up your gates, oh, lift up your head, oh, you gates, lift up your head, oh, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory. So like I say, the King of Glory's come into my gates. You extend peace unto me, into me like a river, and the wealth of the nations out of me like a flooding stream. You see the into and out? You need to see that when you say that. Don't go like this. He extends peace unto me like a river. Glory. And the wealth of the nations like a flooding stream. Hallelujah. Thank you for joining us today. There has to be a little poetry involved. A little some oomph. You got to get creative. God made you creative. The Bible says virtue flowed out of him and he healed them all. Those are living waters. Virtue was dunamis. It's the word for dunamis. Dunamis flowed out of him. So I say, dunamis flowed out of him. All I do is see him inside of me. Dunamis flows out of Christ in me. You see that? And I see it and I go like that. Ooh. Out from my innermost being. Out. Sometimes I'll go like, out of me flows rivers. Not a cup of water. Not even a glass. Not even a hose. A river. Get a revelation. Rivers flowing out. You know, when the four rivers flowed out of Eden, there's four different names. I don't remember the names off the top of my head right now. But here's what they meant. If you look all four of them, it says, water's bursting out. with rapidly flowing fruitfulness and increase. Living waters are bursting out of me with rapidly flowing fruitfulness and increase. You got to get to the point where you have this in you. Well, I don't have time. You can do this all day long. I do this walk in the pool. Day and when I'm in the pool, I just close my eyes and start saying it. Out of me flows rivers of living water. And then I'll look up and see if I'm still in my lane, you know. I'll be like this. Out of me flows, and sometimes I'll be over the lane rope, you know. I got to get back in my... But I'm speaking, but I am centered into my gate when I'm saying this. I am centered in here, and out of me flows these rivers. The waters you've given me is a fountain that's bursting out continuously with living water breaking forth out of me. Spring up, oh well, within my soul. Spring up, oh well. That makes you see that? The Bible said he cleaved the rock and gave forth its water. Well, Moses, when he went to the Moses, see that the Bible says that rock that kept giving him water all the time, that rock was Christ. 1 Corinthians 10 said that rock was Christ. But he tells Moses, he says, speak to the rock. Say, speak to the rock. Well, the rock's inside of you. He's the foundation below. Behold, I lay in Zion a stone. That foundation stone has been laid up inside of you. And this water can come out of that stone. Speak to the rock. He'll give forth his water. He cleaves the rock within me. He gives me drink from the great depths. See that? That's the way you operate and function with your gates. There's another one he says, the rock stood up as a fountain. Man, that's one of my favorite. Do that one all the time. Stand up, O rock inside of me. Burst forth as a glorious fountain. Break forth, O living waters of joy. Break forth, O living waters of peace. Break forth, O living waters of life. Give forth your life abundantly. They have songs made of these things. Spring up, O well within my soul. You see that? And so as you do this, you know the thing about, we would rather just work instead of, it's not just pray. It's about becoming skilled in the way you pray. It's about skillfulness in the words of your mouth. But if you learn to do this, and if you actually do it, the words will start coming out like power. They'll flow out like a river. Sometimes they'll flow out like a torrential river. When you first start, because everything's dry, it feels like a lot of work in the beginning. It feels like, oh my God, this is too much. But as you do it, like anything else, you get accustomed and adapt to it, and all of a sudden the life starts flowing out. The glory starts flowing out. He said, the eyes, Isaiah 35 is another one. See Isaiah 35 inside of you. The eyes of the blind do see. The ears of the deaf unstop. The lame leaps about like the hart or the deer. The maimed is made whole because waters have come out from the sanctuary. See that? And so another, my big one, my huge one, say huge. You are good. Come on, Chuck. Yeah, give it this word. Huge. Is Ezekiel 47. Oh, that is a chapter of chapters. That chapter right there, when he opens the temple door and the waters issue out of the right side of the altar. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. They still haven't gotten out into the earth yet, but they break out into the altar. That's like the imagery of fill the water pots with waters and draw the water out. See, he fills the temple. He flooded the temple threshold floor first. See, all that's inside of you. It's got to break out inside before it breaks outside. Amen? But then it said the waters, watch this. Ooh, I do this one every day because he just gave me this one. The waters issue out of the sanctuary. Favor issues out of me. Life issues out of me. Love issues out of me. Peace. these issues out of me. Issues out. See, that's day one. Boom. Waters have come out. They flow to the ankles. That's day two. They flow to the knees. They rise. The kingdom rises. It expands. Awesomely expands. The waters to the loins, day four. Waters have gone over my head, day five. That's called baptism. That's a different kind of baptism than the Jordan baptism. Now you're getting, Jordan baptism is the baptism of the old man. This is the baptism of the new man. He gets baptized in life from above. A full baptism in glory. A full baptism in manifested life. Day six, they flow to the Dead Sea. Day seven, they flow to the Great Sea. Man, I see seven levels of water that need to come out. That's why I say, remember I said you have vision. You got to have vision. You got to see something flowing out of you. Another thing to do, bless your gates. Speak to your gates. Put your hand over your heart and start blessed are the gates of my heart. For out of you flows the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the gates of my heart. For out of you flows life abundantly. Blessed are these gates of mine. For out of you flows the house of David into the earth to see. Blessed are these gates of mine that flow rivers of peace. Rivers of love flow through my gates. See, when you do this, it starts changing the dynamic of what's going on in the inside of you. If you don't, you'll start talking about what's happening in your gates in the realm of darkness. I'm depressed. Self-pity, all these things, and it just shuts down. Something that was made to be so vibrant and alive. We're supposed to be gates full of glory. The reason we're not is because the body of Christ goes through so much warfare and they don't know how to get the warfare off. And the warfare gets compounded and compounded. And they walk around like, how are you doing? Blessed, highly favored, thank you. I walked in ministry for years like that. I'm going to minister to people, and I'm five times worse than anybody I'm ministering to. God anoints you, though. Praise God. But we're really supposed to be overcomers. Because listen, the waters that are coming out, they swallow up death. The waters coming out, they swallow up poverty. The waters coming out will swallow up infirmity. Loose those waters into your body. Listen, they might be in you, but this is, you need to understand this. You can have all that stuff inside of you, and it never touches your body or your soul. Your body and your soul belong to the earthly jurisdiction. Unless your soul's been transformed, it moves over. Your spirit belongs to a heavenly jurisdiction. So all that can be in the spirit realm, but it's got to get in the natural realm. And your body is natural realm. Your soul is natural realm. So you got to get that water out, even out of one jurisdiction inside you into another jurisdiction inside you. I'm playing some ping pong right now. Bam, 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 bam. I got to get this out. Say out. So if I'm dealing like with an infirmity or something, I don't deal with it too very often. But if I'm dealing with something, I really don't deal with it all anymore. But anyway, if I was dealing with it, I would be directing these waters out from the jurisdiction of Christ in me straight into that infirmity. And I said, oh, death, be swallowed up with a victory. Thanks be unto God who's given me the victory. These waters, see, if you see Ezekiel 47, those waters went to the Dead Sea. Everything that was dead came to life. They awakened. Pour, send those waters to your kids. There's salvation in those waters. Send the waters of generational inheritance. See, I know what's in my water. There's life in my water.
The house of David's in my water. I come from generational inheritance. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all their legacy. Woo! Judah, Caleb, David, Solomon, Zerubbabel, Christ in me. If you be Christ, you're heir to all of that. The lineage of the kings, so every one of their DNA is moving through my waters. I'm pouring the water upon my kids. I'm pouring the water upon my house. I'm pouring it. Pour the water. Father, we just ask for you to do this today. We plead with you, Father. Know who you are. And understand you're going to have to shift. And I'm going to say something. I might get on somebody's. Bless me after this. Some intercessors. I love intercessors. I'm an intercessor. But we have to shift. When we learn to do something 20 years, and God's saying, shift, you got to shift. And you got to learn to pray. That was good for where we were, but it's not good for where we are now. We have to learn to do things God's way. We have to understand who we are in the decree of the Lord. That we're authority now. We carry authority, commending authority. So that gets me into this last part. This is kind of a two-part message, but this last part I'm not going to spend a lot of time on today, maybe next time. So we bless our gates. If you spend time doing this, you'll be amazed. Last week, I was so caught up because he just gave me the revelation. The Lord said, give today and watch what I do. And I gave. And three people gave to me before I walked out the door. And I went out the door pretty fast that day. Bam, bam, bam. When your gates open, things will happen for you. Two people can be in the same boat and different things happen to the two different people. One can catch no fish and the other person be catching all the fish. And the reason why is one's operating with a free flow and the other one's shut down. And the one that's shut down will usually start having some issues with the one who's not shut down. It's like, I do all this, Lord. I used to, like, I pray 10 hours a day, Lord. I do this, 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 this. How come you're doing all this for them? Because they got an open gate and you don't. It's another thing, critical spirit. You got a critical spirit, you get nowhere in the kingdom. Critical spirit has shut everything down. So this part is super important. There comes a time when your word comes to power. Or your Bible says the word is with power. Say his word was with power. Your words are with authority. They're with dominion. When we come to this place, we're coming into the realm. We actually move mountains with our prayers. We work with the Lord in conjunction with him to move mountains. Amen? In that time, your word has to come to power to move mountains. To come to authority. I moved a hill a couple times, but we're going to move mountains now. To move mountains, your word has to come to power. Your word's coming to power. This is what the Lord spoke to me. He says, you want this. He goes, you actually need this to fulfill my will for your life. You cannot fulfill my will without your words coming to power. And a lot of people can do that. They can fulfill the will of God. Mine, I can't. I have an assignment of a mountain that won't move outside of my word coming to power, period. So I'm highly motivated. Amen? So the Lord gets you ready, gets you motivated, then he gets you ready for the change. He says, death and life are in the power of your tongue. You cannot have salt water or bitter water and fresh water coming out of your mouth. You cannot bless one day and curse the next day. You cannot be thankful one day and complain the next. I'm like, oh, no. And for this time forward, and you know, I've done it a whole week, but man, have I been challenged. Woo! The Lord said, I want you to bless. And listen, I had a little side of me that liked to complain sometimes. Or I had a side of me that liked to, I'd get a little critical sometime or judgmental sometime or, you know. Anyway, whatever. Just a little side of me. It's a small. And the Lord said, I don't want you speaking against anybody anymore, no matter what you think about it. And he goes, I don't want you speaking against anybody in the traffic lines. I don't want you cupping an attitude with anybody because they're not moving fast enough. Thank you. Thank you. That's good, Lord. Show him some more. Let's add to the list. When I told Anna, said she, Anna was going, oh, her spirit started leaping for joy. I said, I have to bless now. Man, I'm telling you, day one, the traffic people, I was in a Starbucks line. And usually I would say, what is up with this person in front of me? I mean, this pastor would say that, sorry. After 8 minutes, normally I'd say that. Lord, I bless this person in front of me. I thank you for every kid in her car getting everything they want, no matter how long it takes, because I see 6 kids in that Suburban and ask you to bless them today and make them all happy and joyful. I literally did that. And I did that the whole 8 minutes I waited. And you know what? I left the Starbucks line happy instead of frustrated. I didn't even tell the Starbucks person what I thought about that. Because normally I tell them too. And I said, I bless you for doing all you just did for that truck today. What's that? Happy. But anything, situations, when people disappoint you, you want to go talk about it. You want to call somebody and talk about it. Oh, don't look at it. You know you have your friends. You know those ones you can talk to. Oh, we can talk about anything. You can't do that no more. I bless them. No use even calling. I used to call Chuck and let him know how I think about such a situation. I can't even call him anymore. He's going, hallelujah, you didn't call me in a week. So I'd bless, because part of this is getting all the bitter waters out for the blessing of the Lord to flow, because when God gives you authority, he has to know your mouth will be used for the kingdom of heaven and not for destruction, because that same level of authority can yield destruction upon people. You have to be a blessing. Wait till you start trying this. You get plenty of opportunities. I got my lawnmower fixed in Lufkin, and he said it would take 3 days. It took 3 weeks. We get it back, and Elton's on it 30 minutes, and the whole thing falls apart. We go back, and he goes, well, not my fault. And you know, normally I'd let him know how it was his fault. But I told him, you know, I'm a pastor, and explain to me. This is not the way I used to handle things. Explain to me what happened. So he took a picture. He said, well, what happened? I fixed this, but look at this. And he explained to me. I'm like, you know what? You're right. But the whole time that we had to get that over there, I was wanting to. Elton was all frustrated. He's like, we just spent all this money, and we got to spend it again. I said, Elton, we're going to bless this man. Elton goes, what? He knows the Lord, but he's not used to me acting like that. I said, we're going to bless him today. He goes, okay. So, been a week. Hallelujah. Everyone say hallelujah. I mean, Anna was talking to me about a situation, and like, I wanted to jump in. She wasn't complaining. She was just telling me, but I wanted to come jump over there and start, you know, giving my apostolic anointing on that thing. And I said, I can't talk about that. And if I start talking about that, I'm going to talk about it. So I'm not going to talk about it, and I can't even enter. See, there's certain conversations you're not going to be able to enter no more. You can't enter. I can't enter that. I bless that situation. I can't enter it because I already know my capacity. If I do enter it, I can't. So there's certain conversations you're going to have to discern whether you can enter or not. I can't enter that. Can't. I have too strong of a capacity to speak my mind. You got to speak your mind. So we bless. Say we bless. We bless. Bless our children. Bless our homes. Bless our families. Bless those. I haven't got to the persecution part, but when persecution starts coming, which I'm quite certain it will, you have to bless those who persecute you. That's even, say bless. It's all part of the gates. Your mouth aligning with the blessing of the Lord, with authority, your gates aligning with the word of the Lord, your heart aligning for the kingdom of heaven to flow. Amen? For out of us will flow rivers of living water. Praise God. Let's give God glory. So what I'll do is play the song I was going to play before. And 103, hallelujah. Let's all stand if you would. Anybody get anything out of this? Hallelujah. Some good instruction. You can do this while you're driving. You get to practice all day long in Houston traffic. When it's 100 degrees outside, Lord, thank you for the sun that's shining on me today. Hallelujah. Listen, the world is filled with bitter people. You don't need to be one of them. Because what happens when you give word to that, it'll start corrupting your own gates. And that's what the Lord showed me. So you have to keep your mouth in alignment with God. Let's put that song on. We love you. God bless you. Go in the blessing of the Lord this week. Let your mouth be a blessing. May your gates be open this week continuously. Down.